Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburn, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
And all of a sudden, I had gone from, you know, 150-pound 15-year-old to 125-pound, you know, young adult. And I went full force into plant-based. After all of that restriction, I would drink and just, like, lose myself with food. So it would lead to binging, and then binging led to purging. But I hit 40, 41, and I just started kind of like scratching my head, like something's not right. My energy started to plummet. I've always envisioned my life. I've always just wanted to be happy. I had also lost my menstrual cycle, so I actually hadn't menstruated for 10 years. I just, at that moment, I was like, I have to give this my all. I was just like, let's try it. And everything in my brain had come online. I mean, my energy was bountiful. I felt like my eyes popped open. I felt like my voice came alive. All the things that I never was able to articulate before just became words spewing out of my mouth.
Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the power of a proper human diet. And today I'm thankful, grateful, blessed to welcome Katie to the channel. Welcome, Katie. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm so great. Thank you.
I am looking forward to hearing your story and everything that you've been working on as well. Maybe if we could start out, could you tell us a little bit about your background, maybe both personally and professionally, like where you're from and what you do?
Sure. Well, my name is Katie Zarco. My maiden name is Trussell. So I'm a new Zarco. I just got married about a year ago, about to celebrate my 1 year anniversary. I am actually from Portland, Maine. I grew up on the East Coast, but I've been living in Hawaii for the last 20 years. So I've been here since I was 23, almost 20 years, I guess 19. I have been interested. I've been, you know, 2 feet into this whole health and wellness journey since I was 15. My parents were heavy dieters, so I kind of grew up watching them really struggle to find the right balance for their bodies. And so as a young kid exposed to what it was like for them to really understand their own bodies and really, you know, in the 80s and 90s, it was, and still is in a lot of ways, superficial. You know, it was just about fitting in the clothes or feeling good in their body and then getting to work and making the money and raising the family. And I remember at 15, just feeling, you know, and I hear a lot of people on their journeys too, especially those who have struggled with eating disorders or any kind of substance abuse, that once they hit their teens, which is like the shining, entering hormonal, pubescent, puberty, that whole era of life tends to bring about a lot of struggle in the body and mind. There's just so much going on developmentally. And when I was 15, I just went the route of like, okay, I don't know what the solution is, but I just pulled everything out of my diet. I was really, previous to, you know, my teen years, I grew up with a lot of stomach issues, a lot of anxiety. And excuse me, my voice is cracking. I was in and out of the hospitals a lot. I had epilepsy as a young child. It was called benign Rolandic epilepsy. I happened to like it only lasted a couple years and then I grew out of it. but subsequently just had a lot of sensitivities. And I was out of school in fourth grade for a month with just an inability to eat. I just couldn't look at food because I thought I would throw up if I touched it. So there was a lot of very unknown things happening to or inside of my body that my parents kind of blanketed with, this is anxiety. She's just struggling with anxiety. And so they actually sent me to the chiropractor a lot. They were trying to implement things like taking dairy and gluten out of my diet. I mean, they were doing their utmost and their best to really support me. But so that was like previous to my teen years. So I had implemented certain strategies influenced by my parents to try and maybe pull things out and see if that had any impact. So by the time I was 15,
My name is Carrie. I'm filming a documentary called Healing Humanity. And if you want to see more stories like the story you're watching right now, please help us out. Our project is entirely crowdfunded. I've been working on it for 2 years now. We want to get more stories like this from all around the world. Please donate at donate.healinghumanity.movie. Every penny goes towards the documentary. I've been working on this for 2 years now. I haven't taken a single paycheck, and I never will. Our goal is to reach millions of people who are hopeless in the world. We're doing a documentary. We're doing a series. If you want to support us, please donate or join our membership site so we can support you. $15 for your first month special offer in the description below. Sign up for our newsletter, buy our merchandise, our Healing Humanity shirts, and all of those proceeds go 100% towards our documentary. Thank you so much. Now back to today's video.
I was like, you know, searching for my identity and trying to understand myself as a person. And I remember I had a job at the time, and I would just pull things out like the fried food. And I pulled out the Diet Coke that I was drinking liters of. And I pulled out, eventually I pulled out the meat, and I was pulling out the fat. And all of a sudden I had gone from, you know, 150 pound 15 year old to 125 pound, you know, young adult. And I felt empowered and strong. But of course, with all of that, I was losing my hair. My skin became vapid. I was doing a lot of very diety, restrictive, dangerous things. And my body reflected that. And then shortly, my mental health reflected that. So, you know, teen years, and everyone in my class was going to keg parties or drinking at the train tracks. And I understood at that time that alcohol had a huge influence on how I lived in my body. And I tried to do what my friends were doing, but it came with this massive repercussion that after all of that restriction, I would drink and just like lose myself with food. So it would lead to binging, and then binging led to purging. And so that started a cycle of sort of the, you know, the anorexic, and then headed into bulimia and binging and purging era of my life. And that sadly didn't quite end until I turned 28. And then during that period of time, I had also lost my menstrual cycle. So I actually hadn't menstruated for 10 years. You hear amenorrhea a lot with women who've struggled with their eating and eating disorders. And usually you hear upwards of, you know, 2 to 5 years. Mine left me for 10. So that was a really, really rocky period of my life. And granted, I was in high school and graduating high school and going to college and graduating college. And if you can just imagine the relationships in my life and, you know, the erratic kind of just, I don't know, unstable, ungrounded, but still accomplishing life and getting things done kind of way. And then I got my bachelor's in psychology, moved to Italy when I was done with school, and I lived in Italy for a year. And that's right when my mom finally struck a balance with her eating when she entered Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous. I don't know if you're familiar with 12-step programs, but FA is very popular amongst people who have struggled with food addiction. and having, you know, I think it probably makes sense having had witnessed my parents yo-yo and oscillate a lot. It was such a relief to see that my mom had found something that worked for her. And at 21 or 20 years old and seeing her for the first time, moving her body with grace and feeling and appearing very free from food, I was like, I want that. I don't know what it is, but I want it. And so I went to my first FA meeting and started 12-step recovery at 21. So I actually entered 12-step recovery right before I moved to Italy. And so I actually kind of did the rebellious thing and took what they otherwise discouraged you doing, you know, starting something extreme like that and going across the globe and expecting you, you know, to succeed. But I actually managed to make all of the phone meetings that I could. And at the time, the protocol was weighing and measuring your meals. So no flour, no sugar, no quantities. So you're eating 3 meals a day and everything goes on the scale. And quite frankly, that was the first experience I had with the positive side of restriction. And I think, although I couldn't articulate it at that time, that restricting flour, sugar, and quantities was the liberating part of being a human in our society, where just the shelves are chock full of things we just don't need. And I think even I'll let you know that when I had a similar experience as of recent when I tried to do the omnivorous thing. But I just realized that restriction isn't all that bad if the connotation is reframed and made positive. So yeah, I had two really good years off of, you know, also things like alcohol, and got a really great understanding of what balanced eating looked and felt like, and regained a sense of self. And then I moved to Hawaii. And I was working with a sponsor at the time, because when you're in 12-step recovery, you're often partnered with somebody who can support you. Accountability is really, really key when it comes to any form of addiction, whether it's substance abuse or behavioral. And I was such a straight A student, you know, like I was such a, I got an A plus every day in weighing, measuring. Nothing was ever an ounce over the scale. And because I moved to such a, how shall we say, you know, like Hawaii is just a place where you strip it all off and you just become, you're a sun bunny and a hippie. And it felt very natural to some roots within me that I hadn't quite identified yet. But she was like, I don't know if you need this program anymore. You know, like, why don't you go and spread your wings and explore? And so I kind of took that as like, I'm doing really well. She's setting me free. Let me go see how that goes. And oh man, like I did all right, but in came the alcohol, in came the sugar. My skin that had become very, very clear with all of the balance became very inflamed, and I was breaking out a lot. I had lost an exceptional amount of weight again. And at the time, though, I was in a yoga teacher training and trying to find my soul. You know, I found a lot of reprieve in my yoga training, and that unification with spirit and the grounding in my feet. And at the same time, I was really still struggling with the eating disorder. So having left something that seemed to work for me because it was so controlled, and then putting that back in my hands and trying to find it through, you know, my own wayward path, and still trying to do that with integrity and on my yoga mat, I stumbled and I fumbled a lot. And I ended up on, when I say Hawaii, you know, Hawaii is made up of 8 islands. I was on Kauai, which is, we call it the grandmother island. So I had left Kauai and went to Oahu for another form of treatment with a woman who focused a lot on the maternal female archetype of why we struggle with eating disorders. And that was fruitful and lovely, but I can't say was the total ticket. I mean, everything creates a little piece to the puzzle, right, as you go. So kind of tucked that back in my back pocket and moved back to Kauai and met my children's father and had two kids. And at that point, my menstrual cycle had come back online and I was regaining a sense of health and wellness, but still trying to find my freedom with food and eating and strike that balance. So at that time, we were living on a farm and stewarding 8 acres of land. And I'd had my children, like I'm, you know, quintessential hippie here, like had my children outside on the grass and we were growing our own food and raising pigs and chickens. And at that point, I had deferred from, there's lots of little component parts of this story that I've left out, but I had deferred from graduate school for about 12 years at that point. And so the light bulb moment that I had, that I was doing all of this land stewardship, that I was missing a big part of my career path. So my children's father moved to Oahu. We kind of followed in his tracks. I went back to Maine to kind of like sort some life stuff out, met him on Oahu, and then pursued my master's in marriage and family therapy. And, you know, this was the time of, this was COVID. This was, my school went bankrupt. I had to transfer schools in the last year and a half. And also my children's father and I went parted ways. So there was a lot going on at this time. But everybody I hear who went through COVID, well, we all, you know, for those of us who got through COVID, learned something so profound about ourselves, whether it hurt us to get there or it was just, you know, light bulb moment and we just used that time as productively as possible. But when COVID hit and I was unemployed and sitting in my little one bedroom apartment and sharing time with my children's father, which I never thought would be my reality, I established what is now therapeutic eating and my business and my profession and my, what I think is my work. I graduated with my master's in marriage and family therapy actually on my birthday in 2020 and realized that I've really got to fuse the foundational wellness with the clinical therapy. I can't bring myself to this profession without, like, authentically, genuinely, without helping people find a natural balance within themselves and a peace in their body. And of course, that passion had to come from me. And I was, you know, I was still more or less searching for that, but I was getting much, much closer. And so this is actually the first time I tried carnivore for the first time, but it was during the very infancy. I mean, of course we had Atkins and the impact that he made. But this was like kind of the resurgence when Paul Saladino was coming out and the Dave Asprey's and the bulletproof stuff. And I dabbled. But I think Paul Saladino in my humble opinion at that point was just far too extreme. And I was trying to keep myself grounded. And I tried carnivore for about 20 days, but I was doing it in a very like haphazard way. You know, I was adding a lot of blue cheese to steak and eating a lot of bacon and just kind of going full left field, like just kind of unhinged. And I realized I just didn't feel good. And I also didn't have any support, right? So I didn't have any structure. And I kind of abandoned that after 20 days thinking this isn't for me. And I went full force into plant-based. And I truly had many light bulb moments where, at least because processed food and behavior was out of my life at that point, I had struck a balance with, at least I'm getting the sunshine and the sleep and I'm not consuming alcohol or processed food and sugars at a minimum. I was getting all of those things from starches, of course, and fruit, but I was getting closer. I was getting closer to the wellness component of the therapeutic picture that I wanted to deliver to people and be of service. And that kind of became an identity after a while. You know, I tried to talk about the let's heal our relationship to food without talking about food, because I was always kind of almost avoiding it. Like, I wanted to talk about our relationship to the things that we eat isn't just about the ingredients, but possibly also about our upbringing, how our parents raise us, what we're influenced by, society's pressures, all of the things, trauma, of course. And, but now that I'm where I'm at now, I kind of realized that I was sidestepping a really important component of what I'm so inspired by now, which is probably why we're having this conversation. I never quite felt confident in talking about a plant-based lifestyle, because even though it is, I would call a lifestyle, and it does help to heal people in a lot of ways. That could be argued. I totally agree. But it helped me to eat. It helped me to befriend my hunger. It helped me to establish some semblance around, you know, just nourishing myself. And then 5 years later, you know, gonna kind of skip through all of the other stuff and get to kind of where I'm at now. Plant-based, just there, I don't know if there's just a cycle where your body's thriving off of whatever vitamin, B12 stores you have, and whatever thyroid functions working in your favor, or whatever your gut might be doing, or maybe it's an age thing, but I hit 40, 41, and I just started kind of like scratching my head, being like, something's not right. My energy started to plummet. My mood, while it was probably improving, wasn't where I wanted it to be. I mean, I've always envisioned my life as just being a really, I've always just wanted to be happy. Who doesn't? I know that this sounds so cliche, but I wasn't matching the vision for myself that I wanted, and I could not figure it out. I could not understand why. Here I am doing all this trauma work. I've dissected and analyzed my past. I, you know, rip roar through all of, you know, the body keeps the score work and, you know, psychedelic work. And I'm still just like not understanding why I'm not feeling optimal. And at that point, you know, we keep a keen eye, and I'm sure men do this with muscles and women do it with skin and hair and body stuff. But I think, or maybe the algorithm, maybe Siri was listening to my thoughts and started pushing people into my feed. But I stumbled upon one of Kelly Hogan's, it wasn't an interview. She was just, you know, talking into her camera and sharing a video on eating carnivore ice cream for breakfast and hitting probably like upwards of 40 or 4,000 calories a day. And I'm walking the beach out here in Kailua, and I can't see anything, right? I'm just listening to words because I'm walking. And I look down on my screen. I'm like, God damn, she's gorgeous. And then she's like, I'm 46 and I haven't really, I haven't hit perimenopause yet. And I'm like, God, cause I feel like indoctrinated with this whole, you know, you're 40 and you're just expect your life to plummet from there, and your skin's going to start to sag and your energy's going to dip and you're going to hate life. And this is the narrative that a lot of women are fed right now. And it's sad. And it makes you, not as if growing up in the 80s and 90s, when, you know, 40s were the end of your life, and now being with the resurgence or the understanding that perimenopause and menopause are very real, you know, maybe reality for a lot, it's still this aspect of like doomsday. And I refused to consider this the like, not the end of my life, but that I was gonna somehow like not feel great. And because the first 38, 39 years of my life had been rather challenging, I expect this time in my life to be the best. So I wasn't meeting my standard. And when I looked at Kelly, I was like, well, You know, there's a woman I really aspire to follow in her footsteps. And of course, then I, you know, look up carnivore and carnivore women and how women are just feeling energized and free. And I just, at that moment, I was like, I have to do this again. I have to give this my all and maybe apply a bit more of my like purist mentality. Cause I tend to be a bit of, you know, when I do something, I try to do it right, at least in the beginning. And then I figure out how I can maybe wiggle. But at that point I was just like, let's do this again. Let's try it. And I gave it like 2 days. And by day two, my everything in my brain had come online. I mean, my energy was bountiful. I felt like my eyes popped open. I felt like my voice came alive. All the things that I never was able to articulate before just became words spewing out of my mouth, this confidence that I never quite felt I had. And that's when I messaged you. I mean, I messaged you right around that time because I saw your video on depression and how, you know, people are just being thrown medications that create side effects, that more medications are thrown at to figure out what's going on up here, to stabilize what's going on up here. And you truly spoke so many volumes to my heart at that moment that I was like, I got to reach out. I don't know if it'll land, but I'll give it a shot anyway. And I know I've been talking a lot, but that was kind of more or less what brought me here.
Wow. You've been on an incredible journey, my goodness. Yeah. There's so many things. When you were talking about the food addiction, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, what was that called again? Food eaters?
Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous. It's called FA for 12-step recovery.
So we started a membership site that we have to help give people some more community doing carnivore, because it's hard doing carnivore, right? We're the odd ones out, but that was part of it that we started, we based it on the 12-step program for Alcoholics Anonymous, but yep. We kind of crafted it more for carnivore, and it's really been helping a lot of people. That was one of the things that I sort of realized after doing carnivore for a while is I yo-yoed and did all sorts of diets over the years, and I think a big part of it was I was addicted to sugar and carbs and even fruit that converts to glucose in the bloodstream. I would eat that and I'd want more and more and more and I couldn't stop. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was one of the big things for me on carnivore was realizing that this was an addiction and finally abstaining for the first time versus before trying to somewhat moderate that addiction.
Yeah. Yeah. Freedom from having to moderate is true liberation.
Yeah. And then I realized too, I feel like this one took me a while longer because I thought carnivore was just crazy, probably as you did initially, mm-hmm. like this is so extreme, but I really now after doing it for a couple of years, I'm a little over 2 years now, I just feel like it's the most natural thing in the world. And I interviewed Dr. Chafee and I remember him giving me this analogy that made it kind of clear for me. He's like, there's millions of species on the planet. There's so many species. I think if you Google it, they don't even know. They're like, we don't even know. There's millions of them, but we're not sure. But almost every single one of them has a natural and intended diet, and they eat it, and they're, for the most part, thriving. They don't have heart disease, and they don't have depression, and they don't have autoimmune disorders and skin issues or fur falling off and all of those things. And when he said it that way, it really made me realize more. I'm like, that's what we're kind of doing here with carnivore. We've stumbled around for so long trying all sorts of different things, but none of those things were really even natural. I guess vegan or plant-based or vegetarian is a lot closer to mm-hmm. natural, but even those things nowadays are so compromised.
Yeah.
Glyphosate and pesticides, and even if you try to get organic, it's got overspray on it and doesn't have the same nutrients that it used to years ago because we're just chemical farming so much of this stuff. So mm-hmm. That was kind of a big realization I had was this is just kind of the most natural thing in the world. Yeah. It's amazing your description of how you started feeling so quickly after doing carnivore.
It was instant. I mean, this was me on day one, you know, I was just elated. I just felt like, holy crap. I think part of it is we don't want, nor do we think that the answer could be so simple.
Right.
You know, especially in a day and age where I've at the same time that I started Carnivore, July 1st, I also got off of social media, except for YouTube. I got off of Instagram and just everything to just enter this experience and be fully in it, except for educating myself. I think because I needed some support and I didn't want to get it from Instagram, where you're just bombarded by a lot of other stuff. And I could curate my feed, but I also, wait, what was I saying? I totally just lost my thought. I don't know. Just starting this and starting on day one and just feeling like this is so, I think we avoid what's simple. I think we avoid because we don't believe it. We're bombarded with supplements. I mean, how many ads right now are just infiltrated, have infiltrated media that are about gut health, probiotics.
Yeah.
Every supplement that you can imagine, powders and potions that are doing what I feel like we're doing with carnivore by just eating meat, healing the gut. That to really digest the fact that this is as simple as it is, it's a mind trip, right? You're just like, you're in disbelief.
Yeah. We're led to believe so much that all of these issues we have, it's because there's just something with me. I don't know. It's genetics, or there's just something, and we gotta figure this out with medication or probiotics or some other thing. And it's so wrong. It's so simple. It really is kind of eye-opening when you do it. I almost feel like, too, Katie, your description of how you felt so good so quickly, I've heard several other people describe it similarly. And it was almost like their body was screaming at them, like, yes, this is it.
Finally,
you figured it out. Like, this is, you tried all these other things, but this is it. This is what I've been sort of lacking or needing. My daughter, Emma, she was vegan for 5 years, and she did carnivore. I remember she ate a hard-boiled egg after fasting for a couple of days and really emotional and reluctant to go back to eating animal products after 5 years. And she teared up. And it was the same thing. She's like, this is so good. Like, my body's just like begging me for more of this. So that's a powerful thing when you have that kind of reaction. Does it feel to you like you've tried a lot of things, you've been through a heck of a journey? Did it feel too like it sort of rung through that this is just kind of the truth? This just kind of makes sense. Like, this is kind of it.
This is it. Yeah, I was even saying on the first few days, like, if this is what I do forever, I'm good. I'm good with that. I'm happy. And I think that when you really know what not feeling happy is, and that you even get by in life for as long as you do, not being happy, as soon as you feel happy. And of course, when we're talking happiness, we're talking neurochemicals, right? Everything is firing. Then why would you ever give that up? Even if, you know, as a staunch vegan, it was like, oh, but the animals, or oh, but the environment. But oh, if you really have honest conversations around our impact on this planet, it does lead back to animal husbandry and small family farms and bringing animals into the picture of how we protect the planet as long as we're here. So I really had to also have that honest dialogue with myself, is like, what good was I doing here as a vegan? You know, like, really?
Yeah. That my daughter went through that exact same thing, because that was her primary reason for being a vegan, was animals. And then she started doing more and more research too, and just realizing, kind of to your point, there's actually, being vegan does a lot, probably a lot more. I've said this before, and I really believe this. I don't think there's any more compassionate diet for animals than carnivore. My family eats one cow. We get it from our neighbor. Grass-fed, grass-finished, feeds us hundreds of meals. But if you look at the alternative, there's all sorts of death and destruction if you're primarily vegan or vegetarian. Like, 70 million birds die a year from pesticide poisoning. And that doesn't count all of the squirrels, deer, fox, bunnies. And that's like that's a horrible, painful poisoning. That's a horrible death, versus the cow that we get lives a happy life. We see them grazing in the fields, and that's it. And we get hundreds of meals from it. That was one thing that my daughter Emma realized too, was,
yeah,
in order to be alive, it's just, that's the way the world is. Something else is going to die. It's the it's the food chain. It has to be that way. Yeah, yeah. And this is the more compassionate way. And
how old is your daughter?
She just turned 18.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's been carnivore now for almost 2 years with me. Just she started shortly after me, which blew my mind. Like I'm passionate about carnivore. I never shut up about it. I never in a million years would have thought that she would do it. And she decided on her own, similar to you. She got to a point where she was just like feeling horrible. She was going to bed at like 5:30 p.m. and she was just weak and fatigued and acne and depression and anxiety. She couldn't look people in the eyes. And she's completely, whatever that was, she's on the opposite end of the spectrum now. She's full of energy. She's up all night. Like, she's exercising. Her face cleared up. She's happy. It's just completely transformed her. But I've heard that from so many others as well. The thing I'm really excited about for you is, so you did carnivore for a little while. And then you stop. And now you're doing it again, but you're still really early. And this isn't overhyping it. It gets so much better. Like, you're feeling amazing and you're feeling good now. One of the things, I've interviewed hundreds of carnivores now between the documentary we're doing and on YouTube and talking to people in comments. And one crazy thing, usually around like 3 weeks to a month into carnivore, almost everyone has this whoa moment. Like, what just happened? Like, the sky is bluer, like the birds are chirping louder, like I feel, and you've already, sounds like you've already experienced a little bit of that, but 3 weeks to a month, people, I hear it over and over again. It's like, what is going on? Like, this is crazy. This is something different I've never experienced before. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it has to do with one of your earlier points. We're talking about gut health. I think a lot of it has to do with repairing our gut biome, our bacteria in our gut.
Yeah.
There's a big die-off. There's a lot of research. When we talk about gut biome, I've been going down this rabbit hole for like a year now, and a lot of the good doctors are like, we know like 1%, it's like the ocean. We know almost nothing about gut bacteria, but we do know that all disease begins in the gut, and a lot of depression and serotonin and things like that, it all starts in the gut.
Yeah.
But I interviewed this one woman, and she was telling me there's several stages of gut bacteria that die off if you're doing carnivore. Because when you're eating fruit and starch and things like that, you refeed this bad gut bacteria. And if you're doing strict carnivore, around 3 weeks, you have this big die-off. A lot of people will have like just great sleep, good dreams, and their mood improves. And she's like, Carrie, I've seen this hundreds of times. I can put it down on a calendar. It's like 3 weeks. I think she said 3 months, 6 months, and then 2 years. There's another, for people that have really, really serious advanced autoimmune disorders, some of them have to do strict carnivore for like 2 years. And the big reason for that is the bacteria die off at 2 years. It's a different set of bacteria that dies off. And normally things are level off from there on out. But
I believe it.
Yeah. I'm excited for you because you're doing amazing. And I interviewed Dr. Chafee early on. I was really blessed that he even responded to me. I just reached out to him and he responded. He said, let's do a video. And I think I was on day 60 then, but he's like, Carrie, it gets way, way better. And I was like, he's just hyping this up. There's no way I could feel any better than I do right now, but he was not hyping it up. Like, it just gets better and better. The mood, the energy, everything. Cause we're that gut bacteria, I think, repairs, you get rid of the inflammation and you start getting stronger.
Yeah.
I don't know what your thoughts are on this either. Sorry, I'm rambling now too, but I'm excited for you. One of the things that I've learned, a lot of people said to me, Carrie, you would have done the same thing. You would have seen all the healing that you've seen and the reversal in your mental health. All of that would have happened if you just got rid of the processed food. And basically what they were saying is if you just went vegetarian or plant-based.
Mm-hmm.
And my argument is, I'm sure that, of course, that would help. Like, eating plants instead of eating Doritos and Twinkies is a big, big part of it. But I feel like the missing piece that people overlook is getting that fatty meat.
Yeah.
I feel like I was deficient. Like, my hormones were completely out of whack. And I've since learned that a lot of that relies on fat. Our brains are made of fat. Our hormones need fat. And I feel like when I added that fatty meat back in is when my hormones improved, my sleep improved, my immune system got stronger. my depression started lifting. I feel like all of those things are related to our hormones and getting that fat back in. So
it's the kind of fat though, because you say fat to a vegan and they're like, oh yeah, but I get plenty of nuts and seeds and coconut and avocado. And I promise you there is such a stark difference between the fat you get from a seed and the fat you get from a steak or chicken skin or a pork belly. It is life-changing fat. This is neurochemistry fat. Whereas before, the nuts or seeds that you're eating sit in your gut and create inflammation and bloating. There's a huge difference between fat, right?
Yes. Yeah. So true. And it's like, I've heard Dr. Barry say this before, but he's like, we've been eating fatty meat and drinking water since the start of time. It's not that crazy, but all of these other things we've been doing, we haven't been doing that long. Like some of the weird fats too, that people substitute for animal fats they're all like novel and new in the grand scheme of humanity. If you look at it over since the start of time kind of thing.
Humans are so great at complicating things. We're so great. But if you think about it, it's I kind of see like the carnivore movement right now, like its own herd of animals. It's like, we're just gathering speed. We're gathering energy. Everybody's starting to creep into the crowd and we're creating this movement. I'm just really grateful to be a part of it. And just to speak to your point about, you know, depression and serotonin and what happens in the gut. You know, I had gotten to a point on my, in my plant-based journey where I was like, well, if it's not in plants, it's probably in plant medicine. So let's go to psychedelics. Let's do MDMA. Let's like get the ketamine therapy going. Let's do the psilocybin. And while I'm not against psychedelics by any stretch, I think that there's a place and a purpose for them. Now I see why I was venturing down that route. It was kind of like a detour, because ever since I started carnivore, I'm just kind of like, well, let's make sure that we get our patients on at least a ketogenic lifestyle or diet first, so that they can start to experience their own inner ecstasy before we pump it full of synthetic medicines to get them past their trauma. We really need to support people who are suffering from PTSD and deep, you know, deep forms of depression like bipolar, and have them supported on a nutritional level. And then we can talk about ketamine and, you know, and other psychedelics. But this is, like you said, the sky becomes bluer. Your eyes get wider. You just, this energy is a well of just joy that comes out of you. That's coming from meat and fat. That's your body coming online. We don't need extraneous things and swallowing things to change to open up that third eye. I mean, there's a place for it, but I find that was kind of another thing in my personal experience was like, oh my God, this is kind of psychedelic, right?
Yeah. I felt that too. I was like, I almost feel like, I remember when I started doing carnivore a couple of weeks into it, I just felt like euphoric. It feels like I'm doing like drugs or something weird. This is crazy. I'm just eating natural foods. You know, it's like, it's such a blessing to find this. But then you realize, wait a minute, this is probably should have been my default state since birth. But this entire time I've been walking around with sort of these foggy glasses on, this inflammation, this brain fog, just barely getting by. And that's the sad thing for me. And the reason I'm so passionate about getting this word out, because there's so many people in the world walking around like that and they have no idea. No idea that it's just the food they're eating. What you said earlier too, with the mental health part of it, PTSD, depression. My mental health is completely reversed on this. It's a miracle. Like, I would have given anything for that. I'm so thankful for it. But what I'm more excited about is, like I mentioned earlier, I've interviewed hundreds of people. So many people do carnivore because it just maybe for, and I'm not judging at all, just vanity. I want to lose some pounds.
Totally.
Other people, maybe type 2 diabetes or, fertility issues. People will do it for that reason, or they have psoriasis or skin issue. But long story short, almost all of the people I've talked to, they had anxiety or depression, or they said, I didn't even think I had depression until I got out of it and I was clear. I was like, well, I was actually walking around depressed. But it is amazing what happens for your mental health when you're just eating a proper human diet like this. And That's why I'm excited that you're excited about this with your profession too. So can you talk a little bit about that? So you help people, marriage and family therapy?
So I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, but you know, in essence, I'm a psychotherapist who supports people into their wellness, right? We talk about trauma and depression and relational issues. And I just said it previously in a little vlog that I made, you know, this carnivore, it won't resolve the fact that your husband cheated on you, right? It's not going to make you a multimillionaire tomorrow. These are things that, you know, if we're really dealing with strife in life and we need some relational support, we seek a therapist. But I saw a deep need for people to establish a sense of peace in their body so that then their perception of their problems in their lives and what they're experiencing could be seen with a fresh set of eyes, with a new lens, which is also why this is so profound for me, because now that I feel good in my own body, and I was getting there, right? I was making my way, but I'd be lying if I didn't admit that I was living with like a low level of my own depression, especially now that I feel like this. So we can tinker along in life, getting by, being kind of sad all the time. It's like become the normal, right? And that's the sad part, is that we're kind of like just settling for less. And if I can do anything to inspire my patients to not settle for less in their lives, to know that let's look at our problems now and let's talk in a few months after you try this ketogenic carnivorous lifestyle and then talk about the same issue. What's happened? What's changed? Right. And a lot of that, this is what you hear. It's the adage. It all comes from within. It's all an inside job. Well, what are we doing to resolve what's going on the inside? And literally by what we're putting on the inside. Right. So, I have a lot of friends of faith, and I love how you pray before your meals. It's such a beautiful thing. And, I was explaining to one of my girlfriends who, she's very faith-based and very much a follower of God. And I said, friend of mine, it feels like a channel to my heart has just broken open. Like I can receive the light now. And I think that we get along in life kind of okay as agnostic, you know, not okay, but settling for that. And as soon as somebody establishes like an honest relationship to a higher power of their understanding, which is another reason why this is so important with like 12-step recovery, because reliance on a higher power is the key to that powerlessness that everyone admits when they have an addiction, is like, now it makes sense. Like there's room for that. You have space. The creator comes into your whole body and it's like, oh my God, now I can really follow the light now because it's clear.
Yeah. That's amazing. I'm so glad you said that too, because that's something I've seen as well, where people were like, I had faith, I went to church, I did things like that before, but it wasn't until I healed my body that I was able to be more present. And so many people have said whatever their relationship with God was is so much stronger after. And it makes sense. It's like, I always said this before, one thing that used to drive me nuts, years and years of yo-yo dieting, is getting the advice that you just need to exercise more. Like, I'm just lazy. And what I realized on carnivore was I'm down 100 pounds since my heaviest on carnivore, but none of that did I lose from exercising. It was all nutrition. Yeah. And I couldn't exercise before because I was sick. Mm-hmm. This is what it was. It's not being lazy. Like, I was on the couch. I was depressed. I was anxious. I was out of breath. Like, it was literally being sick. And I feel like that's what most people are doing. And when you're sick, it's hard to do anything. Exercise or have a strong relationship with your family, have a good outlook on yourself, or even have a strong relationship with God. All those things are so much harder if you're sick and you can barely get through the day and you're just plopping down on the couch kind of thing.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I do my best to remain as neutral as possible, both as a friend and a partner and a therapist. But when people say, I just need to exercise more, I get that feeling inside where I'm like, oh God, I hope that you discover that that's not it. You know, yeah. We talk mind-body connection, and I have this kind of dialogue with myself, like what came first, the mind or the body? And we know that everything's interconnected, right? But when something shifts up here, then the body responds, right? And I think that's really truly what happens with carnivore and why everybody talks about mindset and, you know, mind over matter, but you got to get what's going on up here online so that your body can be a humble servant to this, to what's good that's going on, right?
You're making me smile because you're saying something. I got to show you. Are you familiar with Rancher Maggie?
I might have seen some of her videos. Show me them. I'd love to
see. I'll show you. I have a picture of her. It's so funny because you mentioned Kelly Hogan, who's amazing, mm-hmm. incredible. Mm-hmm. Rancher Maggie has been eating carnivore for 65 years. And she's 83 years young.
Yes, I saw her on Sean Baker's video, and she's such a badass.
Yeah, this is her with the triple guns there.
We
interviewed her for our documentary. Adam and I did. We spent about a week with her. It's just so incredible. But she is speaking a lot of the truths that you're speaking right now too. I remember her telling us that one of the hardest things for her was losing a baby and going through that trauma. But then she kind of flipped it and she said, but being that I'm eating this way and my mind is right and my body is right and my spirit is right, it's so much easier to get through the most difficult things that life throws at you.
Yeah.
When you're doing that, she said, if I wasn't doing that, I don't know how I'd be able to get through that kind of thing. So it's huge. It's so impactful. That was the other thing I learned from interviewing so many people. It's like, I try to be careful because I want to tell the truth and I don't want to overhype things, but it's just the truth. This majority of people that I've interviewed that are doing carnivore, whatever their success metric is in life, it goes up in every single case. And it sounds like I'm blowing it out of proportion, but it really makes sense if you think about it. If your mind is right, your body is right, your spirit is right, your energy is through the roof, you're now making better, wiser decisions because you're not exhausted and plopping down on the couch. And your life is kind of a result of the decisions you make. So if you're making wiser decisions, it would make sense that you'd be more successful in life. We interviewed Pastors Jimmy and Annette for a documentary, and they've been carnivore, I think, like 2 years now. They've been preaching at a church for 20 years, and they said after 1 year on carnivore, their congregation doubled in size. They're like, we're on fire. And that's just one example. But everyone I talk to, it's like whatever they do for work or their career, it just becomes more successful because you have that energy, you're making wiser decisions kind of thing. And it's amazing. And I try to keep it positive. And then I always, Katie, go back to, it's such a shame that the majority of humans walking this earth are never going to realize that. They're going to be in that brain fog stupor every day of their life.
Yeah. You know, when I moved to Hawaii, the strongest message that I received, do you remember The Secret, the movie, The Secret?
Yeah.
It was the power of manifestation and Abraham Hicks and, you know, all of this, like it's just act as if and get ahead of the ball that's rolling. And while it helps to, in a sense, control some of the mind, this makes it so much easier. So I'm not surprised that the congregation is growing. That is the power and the law of attraction. Right? They feel good in their bodies. Therefore, everyone's flocking and saying, wait a second, that faith is coming from somewhere. I want some of that. It's contagious. Yeah. So while I also fall into that little bit of sadness and like, oh, you know, maybe some people won't catch on to this in this lifetime, I think, but so many people are flocking to that herd that is gathering more and more momentum than ever before. I'm part of it, right? I kind of did the dabble thing and I was like, oh, I don't know if it's for me. I don't have support. And like, I don't know, maybe I'm not doing this right. And tried to find the solution in other things, which people will do with antidepressants and other diets and psychedelics and various things. But man, when you come back and you really integrate, I just think that this more than ever. And maybe it's just because like my, everything that I'm looking at and listening to and heeding right now is carnivore. I mean, you look at my feed and it's just like, boom, carnivore. Your face shows up every other video, which I love. Maybe that's naive of me to say, but I truly believe that there are people are finding out. And it's because of the work that you're doing, right? This documentary and all the doctors coming online, Chris Palmer and his metabolic disorder being connected to, you know, our metabolism. I believe that more and more people are going to get be sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, just like addicts, right? Just like people dropping the heroin, people dropping the alcohol, people dropping the methamphetamines and saying, there is a better way. I don't know what it is, but I'm gonna attract it into my life. And there they go. Yeah. And they hear something like this and they're like, oh, it's too simple. Let me try it. And then boom. So yeah, we just have to keep talking about it. That was the other thing for me as a psychotherapist. It's like, I never had the confidence to talk about my plant-based lifestyle. But 2 days on this thing, I was like spewing out inspiration. I'm just like, let's just do this, you know? And of course, I'm not here to like convince anybody, but I can do my due diligence as part of this humanity and this movement to just speak from my personal experience. And I'm so happy.
I'm so happy that you're sharing your story, because that is what I've learned on this journey, is what inspires other people. There's science out there and you can argue with science, but when you see your joy and your happiness and your example, and there's people are going to watch this and be like, I can relate to Katie. Like, I did that. Mm-hmm. I did those same things. And now here you came out the other end. I also just wanted to say real quick too, I feel like I've second guessed myself sometimes too, because I'm so close in the space and it's mm-hmm. nonstop carnivore content, but I really feel like it's exploding. We've been doing these Healing Humanity meetups as we travel around filming. And it's like turning into a movement. This last one we did, I was like bawling through. I couldn't believe like some of the things people would come up to me and say that they're curing, they're healing, yeah, just eating meat. They're like, I saw your 30-day video before. We were just in Montana for, mm-hmm. it was actually Bella's meetup, Steak and Butter Gang meetup. And near the end of the presentation, this lady tapped me on the shoulder. She's like, I got to talk to you. And I'm like, oh, this is weird, because she came in really late. And then she walked away and she turned around and she said, you saved my life. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And so anyways, I talked to her afterwards and she saw my 90-day carnivore video, which was so profound for her, which I'm so thankful that I had some way in it. I don't even remember what the video was. I'm like, what video was that? I've done so many videos. Yeah. But she said she went on carnivore and she was in hospice. Like, she was mm-hmm. dying. She had so many health issues. And she's completely 180. She's completely healthy now. And then her dad too, she said, my dad, type 2 diabetic. She's like, not anymore. He's eating carnivore like me. He's completely reversed his type 2. But long story short, those stories, like these meetups we've been going to, and just seeing people that don't even know what I do, mm-hmm. like extended friends, family, just people, it is blowing up for sure.
Yeah, I just want to speak to that point that maybe not as much for you because you're creating so much of this content, but people like me, I see the video and I'm listening and I go straight to the comments, and it is one comment after another. And we're talking thousands of comments on hundreds of videos out there from doctors and influencers doing this, and not a single one have I read, oh, this doesn't work for me. Yes. Or they haven't gone through some massive weight loss or transformation, or they haven't gotten off all of their medications. And I'm just like, kid you not, screenshotting gazillions of these and just creating a folder for them, because I'm like, look, this isn't just what you're saying. This is everybody following this, experiencing a massive life-changing transformation.
That is why I'm here right now. No joke, because of the comments. I learned about carnivore through Dante Ferrigno, a YouTuber. And I thought, this guy's crazy, but it was the only thing that convinced me, because if I just saw a doctor from the get-go, I'd have been like, no, thank you. I've had too many bad experiences with doctors. But then I found Dr. Barry, and he was talking about the same things as Dante. But long story short, it was a Dr. Barry video. It was called How to Reverse Type 2 Diabetes. And it had 2,000 comments. And Katie, I watched like every Dr. Barry video, like 1,000 of them. And I was still like, this guy's a scam artist. There's got to be some catch. Like, what is he selling? The first comment on there, 5 words, Dr. Barry saved my life.
Yeah, I'm like, I believe
what?
It.
What? And then I read more and there were more people. He reversed their type 2 diabetes. Their A1C was this and this. And then another one, Dr. Barry saved my life. I listened to Dr. Barry save my life. One guy was like, 10 minutes listening to Dr. Barry did more for me than 10 years with my family medicine doctor that I went to.
Yeah.
And that's what convinced me was the comments, because I'm like, okay, if Dr. Barry's a scam artist and he's got this elaborate scheme where he's doing thousands of videos and they're right. all wrong and fake, but he hired all these people and put all these fake comments in there. And then I started reading comments on Dr. Chafee's channel and the other
yes.
one. Mm-hmm. There's so many of them. There's like,
there's
I don't
so
know.
Many.
I think that's great advice, because I was going to ask you, what advice do you have for someone? I got a lot of people on my channel that are carnivore curious. They're suffering. Mm-hmm. They can't wrap their brain around it. Reading the comments, I think, is great, great advice, because then you can see the testimonies from other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Reading the comments, man. But, you know, I think if there weren't, so when the longtime purveyors, right? The Sean Bakers, the Dr. Barry's, the you, people who just stayed with it for the long haul, got through all of maybe the digestion stuff that you deal with, or all of the, I don't know, the initial symptoms. Like, honestly, the first few nights I was so high. I was so like elated. I barely slept. I was like, I was sleeping like 3-4 hours a night until I was kind of heated some of Elizabeth Bright's work. And she was like, just eat fat. You know, women need more fat. So I started to consume a bit more fat in the evening just as a protocol to sleep better. And I did. And I started getting 7-8 hours and my body just adapted. But I really, truly think that people are not giving themselves the time it takes to adapt. And I think that especially because, I'm sorry if this is like TMI or whatever, but I think we live in this society that is so poop focused, that's so obsessed with the gut, and we should be, at least from the microbiome and healing things like IBS and carnivore and how amazing that is. But like with probiotics and fiber and all these supplements, it's like, let it go. Like literally let it go. Let your body adapt. It takes time. No good thing happens overnight. Like Barry said, like at least 90 days, right? I'd say, like, I think I've heard you say, just give it 30, right? For you to just get a semblance of this, how this works in your body, because something's going to change, right? Your skin, your hair, your bloating, your digestive issues, your depression's going to, something's going to go away that you didn't even know was creating a dark cloud in your life. And then at that point, you're like, well, it cannot be a bad thing, right? So let me give it a little bit more time. And I think everybody's got their own little structure and system that works for them, right? Like some people do dairy. Some people realize dairy doesn't work for them. It's okay. Some people are drinking Diet Coke. Some people are like, I can't even have the sweet taste in my mouth. It's okay. Are you eating meat for the most part? Are you getting your fat from animals? Great. You're doing it right. And I think that that's the other part, is that like people worry about not doing it right. Or maybe type A's, or, you know, purists or people like that who just feel like they have to get it, hit the mark, or they failed. Is just, if you're eating meat, you're doing it right. Even right. if you eat the same cut of meat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and making sure that you're eating enough. And especially for women, you know, like me, who come into this being like, holy crap, I haven't eaten meat for 5 years, but I just ate like, you know, 6 to 10 ounces of meat 3 times a day. And like in the mind, that sounds wild. It sounds crazy. I ate 5 egg yolks today. Whoa, so much fat. That all of that goes away because it's just a narrative. It's just a narrative. These are just words. We've just gotten used to all these words because they've infiltrated media and we've taken it into our body and found a little happy home for it until it becomes really unhappy and it starts inflaming itself. And then we're like, why am I not okay?
Right. Good stuff. This has been great. I really appreciate you coming on here and sharing your story.
Yeah, thank you.
If people want to learn more about you or follow you, is there anything you want to share or shout out before we wrap up?
I'm therapeutic eating. My name is Katie Zarco. I'm on a hiatus from Instagram. I kind of, kid you not, cleaned out the majority of my Instagram because I was like, if this isn't making me feel well, I don't want to influence people in a way that could potentially make them feel unwell. So I pretty much cleared out a lot of my past food stuff that was centered around plants, but I'll head back onto Instagram once I'm adapted. Let's say another few weeks or a month or so. But right now I'm just posting like crazy on my YouTube and just trying to, you know, be present there and do my research. So therapeutic eating.
Awesome. I will have a link in the description below for that. Thank you so much, Katie, for sharing. I really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much for everything that you're doing for humanity. It's making a difference.